Appreciate the prayer and ask a continued interest in your prayers this morning. I invite you to turn with us to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Here in this portion of the writings of Ezra, as he chronicles the children of Israel and much of the history of it, there's two verses of scripture where he makes mention of a man that's not mentioned before, not mentioned after. A man that, when you take a close look at those two verses and see a prayer that he offered, you find here's a man that loves God. Here's a man that wants to please God. Here's a man that wants to ask the Lord, or is asking the Lord for help for him to live in an honorable way. Can you find fellowship with somebody like that? You know, this was around 2,500 years ago. A long time before the Lord Jesus was born into the world. A long time before some of the prophecies of the Old Testament were, well, the first five books of the, Moses' writings, they were available, and those prophecies were available. And it's a long time before the Lord Jesus was born into this world, before we would have the blessing of hearing the true gospel of what God purposed to do from the foundation of the world. A long time, this man lived a long time before we have the fulfillment of those prophecies where Christ himself, the Word of God, would be made flesh and would dwell among us. And all that he would do as he went through those 33 and a half years that he walked upon this earth, and what he would accomplish in going to the cross and shedding his precious blood to redeem us from our sins. A long time before all of those things took place, here's a man walking by faith, looking to the Lord, being strengthened by what he experiences each day. Now, you know, I'm taking what we have, the record of it, and you can see now, you know, as far as elaborating a lot about his feelings and his experiences and all that, we can't do that. But we do see enough that we see here's a man that loves God and is trusting God and asking God to help him live a life that's pleasing unto him. So let me just read those two verses. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Verse 9 and 10. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. The name, by the way, Jabez means sorrowful. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Here's one of the Old Testament saints of God, a man that obviously has the love of God in his heart, a man who desires to walk in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. God heard his prayer. Though he was a man that his very name means sorrowful, and the names in the Bible are not by accident. They're not just by some whim. They're there for to teach us a lesson. So as we think about this, what's on my heart this morning is to be able to relate and to have fellowship with someone that lived a long time ago, that even though they didn't have the fullness of the gospel that we have today, yet they were depending upon the Lord to live a life pleasing unto him. Isn't that our desire? As we go through this life to please the Lord and to be in fellowship with Him and in fellowship with God's people. I mean, listen, there's a lot of things that we have to face in this life, and what a blessing it is to have fellowship with God's people, walking in fellowship with God, and knowing that we can call upon Him in our times of trouble. You know, things are changing in this world, and I don't know, you know, none of us know exactly what's going to happen, but we know that God's on His throne. You know, that has been more of a comfort to me in the last couple of years than all of my life put together. To see the present danger, to see the threats, to see the changes that could be happening, and things could change drastically for us, and yet to have that confidence that no matter what comes upon us, God is on His throne, and He's the one's in control, and He has already taken care of all eternity for everyone that He loved from the foundation of the world. Now, isn't that a comfort? And while Jabez wouldn't have known all the details and the fullness of this glorious gospel, yet he had the same faith. He had the same hope. He had the same God. And he had the same security that we do today. What a blessing that is. Even no matter when a person has lived, God has watched over and provided for His children. Now let's notice in verse 9, it tells us something about Jabez. We have the one verse that tells us something about Jabez. We have the next verse that speaks about the prayer that he offered, and God answered his prayer. Don't you want the Lord to answer your prayers? Don't we want to learn what we can about those prayers that others have offered and that God has answered? You know, they love the Lord just like we do. And so whatever God has chosen to reveal in His Word that is a help to us, we need to avail ourselves to know what that is, to learn it, and to try to live it so that we can enjoy that fellowship with Him and those blessings of answered prayers. First of all, it says he was more honorable than all his brethren. More honorable. Now, there's different ways that people look upon an individual and bestow honor upon them. You know, there's this worldly wisdom and the advantages of the world, and people will look upon some. If there's some advantage that they can gain by being affiliated with that person, then, you know, they might consider them to be honorable. But this doesn't leave us to guess why this man was honorable. All you have to do is look at the prayer that he offered, and you'll see where that honor is, because he loved God, because he's following the Lord. This honorable, searched out the word a little bit, brings the idea of being trustworthy. You know, one that you can count on them to do what's right. Don't you love those kind of folks? When you can have such confidence. Now, I realize, you know, we have to be careful about putting too much confidence in a man. All right? But if a man has a reputation, and if a man has a good understanding, and he has a reputation of doing what's right, not so much what's good for him, but what's right to do, then there's some honor there. There's some godliness there. There's a reason that we would respect an individual like that. Several places in Scripture where people are spoken of as being honorable. In Isaiah 43, verse 4, the Lord speaks of how that His people were precious in His sight. And because of that, they were honorable to Him. In other words, He's the one that bestowed that honor upon them. Not that He honors them, except in the fact that what He has done for them, how they are His children, He is watching over and caring for them, and He will be faithful to them. As we spoke Wednesday night about the faithfulness of God. God is going to be faithful to His children. Now, he's going to be a faithful father, and if need be, he's going to chasten them and discipline them when necessary, but he's still going to do it in love. He's still going to provide what's needed by them because he's honorable, because he's faithful, because he loves us. This man was honorable. So we can think that the idea is that he could be counted to do what's right. A similar word along the same lines you'll find over in Acts chapter 17 verse 11, where Luke speaks of the Berean brethren. The word used there is they were more noble than those at Thessalonica. Now, what was the source of why were they called noble? Because they received the word with a ready mind. And they went home and searched the scriptures to see if those things were so. All right? So they were eager to hear the word, and they wanted to make sure it was right, because they wanted to live according to truth. All right? So again, this idea here, the word in Acts 17:11 used was noble, okay, honorable, noble, trustworthy, doing what's right. And then another word very close to that over in 1 Timothy 4 and 8, where Paul's talking about how that bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. In other words, walking in godliness, walking in fellowship with God, that person is trying to live an honorable life. And so we want that godliness. We want to understand as much as we can about godliness so that we can live that honorable life. So he humbly looked to God and followed him and trusted the God of Israel. All right? Second thing I want to notice about Jabez himself. His mother named him Jabez, meaning sorrowful. Sorrowful. You know, when a person goes through a lot of trials, heartaches in life, it gives you a different perspective, doesn't it? If you have the love of God in your heart, if you desire to please God and you have those struggles and those trials, then those sorrows have a way of teaching us a great deal about what's really and truly important. Now, his mother, because she bore him in sorrow, she named him Jabez, meaning sorrowful. Do you remember when Rachel was in labor? What is that, Genesis 28 or something like that? when Rachel was in labor, Genesis 35, I'm sorry, I got that wrong. Genesis 35, when Rachel, let me turn to that because I may not get it all quoted just right. Rachel was in labor with Benjamin. I'm sorry, I got the wrong passage. When Rachel was in labor with Benjamin, and her labor was hard, and said, and as her soul was in departing, she gave birth to Benjamin. And she wanted to call him Benoni, which means son of her sorrow. Okay? But Jacob named him Benjamin. Now, center column in my Bible says, son of my old age. I've heard other references call him son of my right hand. My point is this. Rachel, in her sorrow, in her pain and agony in bringing forth this child, wanted to call him Benoni, which would mean son of my sorrow. And she died in giving birth to Benjamin. But Jacob, who was still around, who would be raising this child, calls him Benjamin, son of my right hand. But what does sorrow do to a person? It brings us down. It causes us to realize, or causes us to think about what's really and truly beneficial. And a lot of other things just become unimportant when we're going through those such times as that. When we think about Jabez's mother, now we're not told anything more than this, so we don't know if she died like Rachel did in giving birth to this child. We don't know if she was still alive, and yet there was other things that caused the sorrow, but we do know that sorrow characterized his life, because that's what his name means. And in sorrow, she brought him forth. Now, when you think about sorrow, it teaches us a lot about life. And if the love of God is in our heart, then we think about the Lord. We think about what's truly beneficial, what's truly a blessing. And it helps us to realize that there's some things that are far less important than serving the Lord, than looking to Him for the things we stand in need of. And so when we think about his life was being characterized with sorrow. Now, first of all, you know, in Genesis 3:16, after the Lord pronounced the judgment upon the serpent, remember what he told Eve? That in sorrow she would bring forth children. In sorrow, he would multiply her sorrow. So we know that idea is common to all men. But there was something special about the sorrow that accompanied Jabez's life. And when you stop and think about other characters in the scriptures, David, in Psalm 119, you know, David speaks of how before I was afflicted, I went astray. And then a few verses later, I think that's verse 69. And then verse 71, he speaks about how, let me turn to that. Verse 71, it's good for me that I am afflicted, that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The point is, sorrows and affliction have a way of drawing God's people to Him, the source of their strength. What is it? Zephaniah 3:12, where it says, I shall leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. I tell you, when you're made to feel your weakness, when you're made to feel the need that you have, and bless your hearts, what a blessing and what a joy it is that we can turn to the Lord and ask Him for the help that we need. All right? So there are other characters. As Jabez's name means sorrowful, and we can look at other scriptures where we have more information about the lives of others. I mentioned David and those verses that we just quoted there. The Apostle Paul, after this Saul of Tarsus, who was going about wreaking havoc in the church, later on in his ministry, as he writes to the brethren at the church at Corinth, remember when he says, my grace is sufficient for thee? Listen to what these struggles and this sorrow that Paul experienced. Listen to what he learned in that experience. He says, he's speaking here about that thorn that was given to him in the flesh, and he besought the Lord 3 times to remove it. But he says, verse 9, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Now, Paul's going through a struggle. He's feeling his weakness. He's asking the Lord to deliver him from whatever this struggle was that was his thorn in the flesh. The longer I live and the more I study the Bible, the more convinced I am that what troubled Paul more than anything was that remembrance of how he had persecuted the church. There may have been some physical affliction. Some of the commentators speak of how his eyes bothered him a lot and different things. But I know just from the writings that we have and the many times that Paul makes mention of it, that it bothered him that he had persecuted the church and the saints of God as much as he had. Now, I know that he said that he knew that he did it in ignorance. He did it in unbelief. Nevertheless, that was part of his life. But the Lord told him, "My grace is sufficient. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." So a person whose life is characterized by sorrow, limitations perhaps, and whatever, Paul gives us this witness here about his own life and his own experience and his own struggles, that the Lord faithfully told him, "My grace is sufficient." Whatever, if his thorn in the flesh was his remembrance of the things that he had done in persecuting the church, then God's grace is sufficient to handle that. That is, his grace is sufficient to provide for his children, whatever the situation might be. And even we today can look at the fact that Jesus has already died to redeem us from our sins. He arose again. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He says he's coming back to gather us up and take us home to be with him. No matter what we have to face, even if somebody should bust through that door right now and just slay us all, his grace is already sufficient, isn't it? We're already secure in the blood of Christ. Paul had not he may have frustrated the actions of a lot of people, but he hadn't changed the purpose of God any by all that he did. God's grace is sufficient. God can take care of us in our trials. God can do whatever it is his will to provide for his children. So when he says, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." When we're weak and we realize that we're limited and we can't do, we can look to the Lord and depend upon his strength and his wisdom. But I want you to notice the rest of this verse. That's the part that we normally quote when we refer to this passage. And I wanted to turn to it so I get it just right. There's another part to that verse after he says, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." Paul says this. Now, what I just quoted is in red letters. If you happen to be looking at it, you see that. But the rest of this is Paul's mention about that. So after the Lord says, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness," he says, "Most gladly, therefore." Wow, it sounds like Paul had learned something. It sounds like even in the midst of his afflictions, there was a strength that came to him. And by experiencing that, and you know that he experienced that more than once, he outlines in the New Testament the many things that he suffered. He was shipwrecked. He was left for dead. He was, stoned and left for dead. He'd been beaten many times. There was many times, and as he began 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he talks about how he had despaired even of life in those times that he suffered. But here was something that God taught him in those afflictions. And he wouldn't have learned this without those afflictions. So that should help us as we go through the afflictions of life to realize that there's lessons that we can learn and there's great fellowship with the Lord that we can experience. He says, "Most gladly, therefore." In other words, because of this, most gladly will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. When Paul went through those experiences and he despaired even of life, he realized he didn't have the strength to carry on. It wasn't his strength that was going to get him through this. He was wholly dependent upon Christ. And he was brought through those afflictions. Now, when you can look back upon something like that and see how the Lord delivered you, see how the Lord gave you strength that you didn't have of yourself, see why Paul could say, most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And evidently, there was a fellowship there, there was a blessing there that he hadn't gotten any other way. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. And that's the key, isn't it? For Christ's sake. So, my point in all of this is this. If we're having to suffer for righteousness' sake, then we have every assurance in the world that God will be with us, that He will strengthen us, and that there'll be a blessing found in it. He does not leave us to our own. This man, now we're coming back to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, this man's life somehow was characterized by sorrow. And we've looked at several other characters and learned some of what they experienced. Now, so evidently, this man was acquainted with sorrow, like the Lord Jesus Christ even. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And then what we read in Isaiah 53, God's suffering servant coming and doing God's will. What we see then is a pattern that those that are looking to the Lord and whatever they're going through in this life, then we have confidence that God will be there to help us. I'm not saying that we won't have troubles. I'm not saying it won't be a struggle. Just think about what Paul went through when he was in the shipwreck and at sea, when he was stoned. There's no indication that God took away all the pain of those persecutions and those afflictions and all that he endured. But it does tell us that God delivered him. God was with him. And it was to such an extent that Paul said he would rather glory in his infirmities. This is the kind of person that we're talking about. Now listen to his prayer. Verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel. This man knew the Lord, didn't he? Not that he just lifted up words, but he called upon the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Here's one that knows the source for his blessings. And he's calling upon the Lord. There's an evidence here of a child of God who knows the Lord and who knows the source of his blessings. Now this is pretty basic. But you know, we need to just remember ourselves to follow this pattern. In thankfulness to God for the blessings that He's given us each day. You know, many times we've talked about how that the more thankful that we can be, the more time we spend in thanking God for the many blessings He's already given us, the more joy we'll have in our heart, the more thankfulness we'll feel, and it will show in the kind of life that we live. You know, isn't it a drag to go around somebody that, or be around somebody that's unthankful? And it's always, maybe they're always complaining. You know, those kind of things go together, the unthankful and the complaining and all of that. It just seems to go hand in hand, doesn't it? But you take a person that's thankful for what they have, thankful to God, thankful that they have the privilege of knowing Him and the opportunity to serve Him. I mean, it just shows the Spirit working in them in many different ways. We talk about thankfulness, but it just blossoms from there. So Jabez said, he called on God of Israel, "Oh, that thou would bless me indeed." You know, it's okay to ask the Lord for the things that we need. Now, we shouldn't major on it. I'm persuaded we need to spend more time asking for the Lord's blessings upon others. But surely He is our provider. He's the one that watches over us. He's the one that takes care of us. Surely we call upon Him and ask Him for the things we need. He goes on to say, "And enlarge my coast." Enlarge my coast. If you think about Israel, you know, they're kind of hemmed in, aren't they, with all the nations around about them, all right? Part of what he may be saying here would be to help him to expel the other nations that were inhabiting that. You know, when God provided the land of Canaan to His people, He also commanded them to drive out the nations that were there. Okay, now this was sometime after that, but there's perhaps that there were those around about. But more than that, perhaps what he's saying here is to enlarge his influence, that he might live in a way that would be pleasing unto the Lord, and that he might have an influence on others. You know, isn't that what we should try to do? I mean, part of that is what Jesus talked about, is letting your light shine before men that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Don't you enjoy, obviously we enjoy being around the brethren at church, but when you're out in public and you see someone that's living a godly life, that you can tell by what they're, maybe some choice they made or some action that they did, you can tell that the love of God is in their heart and they want to live in a way that's directed by the Word of God. Don't you enjoy that? I mean, there's just something that it does to you. You might be like, you know, you might think that the love of God's not in this place. But then you see someone do an act of kindness, or you see someone being merciful, or you see someone demonstrating fruit of the Spirit, and you're made to realize that's a child of God. Doesn't it just endear you to that person? It does me. I used to have to travel around the country and work with people I didn't know, and what a blessing it was that after I had a little time to be around them, that I could begin to see the evidence of the love of God in their hearts. And, oh, it was just made all the difference in the world. Well, if you like to be around those kind of people, then you ought to be one of those kind of people, right? So that you can be a person that lives in such a way that others that love the Lord would want to be around. All right? So part of what Jabez is saying here when he asks for enlarge my coasts, an opportunity for him to live in such a way and conduct his affairs in such a way that he would have a good influence upon those around him. Now, later in the Bible, he's not mentioned again, but there is a couple of chapters ahead. a city was named Jabez. So I don't know about the timing there, but I don't know if he had such an influence that a city was named after him, or if that just happened to be another city. A lot of times we don't know these things. But my point is, if we pray to the Lord for opportunities to show forth his love, to be a blessing to others, do you know that's a prayer that's honorable? You know, we begin by saying this man, Jabez, was more honorable than all his brethren. If we are asking the Lord for opportunities, if we're asking the Lord for a way that we can be a help to others, he's pleased to answer that prayer. And it's been my experience that he answers that prayer very quickly. So if you're not ready to do it, of course, you need to be asking that anyway, because that's the way we can honor the Lord. And that's the way we can have a honorable life before others. So it's a blessing for us to do that. All right, he goes on to say, "And that thine hand might be with me." You know, the more you consider what he's asking in his prayer, the more you realize there's a lot of mature faith in what's being said here. Don't you need the hand of the Lord with you each day? Don't you realize that there are situations you're going to face? There are going to be temptations, there are going to be trials, there are going to be problems, there are going to be difficult situations every day we live. Some worse than others, some easier than others, but every day we need the help of the Lord. We need it. And in this prayer, he's acknowledging he needs the help of the Lord. Is that part of your prayer? As you pray each day, are you asking the Lord that his hand would be with us? That's one of the things about the life of Joseph. When you go back and read in the earlier part of Genesis, you find that expression is made several times with regard to Joseph, that God was with him. And God was with him to such an extent that others noticed that God was blessing him. We need to remember, we need the help of the Lord. Now, I'm thankful that he gives us good health and good opportunities and all of that, but no matter how good things are with us, we still need the Lord, don't we? But the better things are with us, the more tempted we are to kind of let that slip or forget. And bless your hearts, we need the help of the Lord. And in this prayer, Jabez says, "And that thine hand might be with me." He's not expecting to do great things of himself, but he's asking for the Lord's favor and blessings to be with him. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're asking that so that you can honor the Lord, that's an honorable prayer. God will be pleased to answer that prayer and give you those opportunities to be faithful to him. He goes on to say, "And that thou wouldest keep me from evil." "And that thou wouldest keep me from evil." Jabez here is saying something that you'll find in a number of places in the scripture. Perhaps the first one that comes to mind is that model prayer that Jesus gave us to pray, right? "Give us this day our daily bread, deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." That idea, that impression of heart is common with those who are trying to serve the Lord and who recognize their need for the blessings of the Lord upon their life. All right, so he says, "And that thou wouldest keep me from evil." I want to notice several other passages similar to that thought. As he As we have see that we have fellowship with this brother who lived a long time ago, but that was the desire of his heart to please the Lord. Let's notice some others. In Job, Job 28:28. I can get to it. Job 28:28 says this. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Wisdom and understanding. Anybody here need that? Certainly we need wisdom and understanding. Well, he says, fear the Lord, that's wisdom. Depart from evil. Depart from evil. Jabez is asking the Lord to keep him from the evil. Do you remember to pray that each day? Do you think there's a possibility that there'll be some evil in your path as you go through this day and the next day? Surely there is. Several weeks now we've been preaching about the armor of God and how that we need to be able to stand and stand in God's might, right? So we need that wisdom that comes from God, and we understand that we need that the Lord to help us, to keep us from the evil. A couple of the Proverbs I want to notice. Proverbs 3, the whole proverb is good, but let me just notice, beginning of verse 5, very familiar verses, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, leave not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now that's the thought of what we're hearing from this prayer of Jabez, isn't it? But in verse 7 is what I want to notice. He says, be not wise in thine own eyes. You ever fell into that trap? Thinking, well, I know what to do. And you go do it, and then you realize for some reason the Lord's not in it. Be not wise in thine own eyes, he says. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. To fear the Lord, to have that awesome reverence for the Word of God so that it would guide our footsteps and influence our thoughts. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. When our mind is set upon the Lord, it'll help us against those evil temptations that come against us. All right, and then also Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. Let's begin reading in verse 5. Proverbs 16, verse 5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Need to remember that, don't we? Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Then verse 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. By the fear of the Lord. Several passages here, we've noticed how the fear of the Lord, if that's in place, if we're walking in reverence to the Lord, if our mind and our heart is set upon His Word, then it will help us against the evil that we face here in this life. Also, David said over in Psalm 141, verse 4, incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity. It's an honorable thing to ask the Lord to
to help you, to strengthen you
against the evil. Protect us from the evil that we face in life. Certainly, we already said that Jesus made that a part of the model prayer that he gave us to pray. When we're to ask for the things that we stand in need of each day, give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. We need to ask every day, not only for our daily bread, but that the Lord would watch over us and protect us. You know, that idea, we know that the Lord doesn't tempt us with evil. You know, so Jesus in that prayer, that model, he's not telling us that, he's not asking the Lord along those lines. But what he's asking, lead us not into temptation. In other words, suffer us not to go that way. Protect us from the evils that are in the world. I'm afraid sometimes we forget some of the things that we need to be praying for on a regular basis. All right, so he says, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. This is a man that we've looked at that was acquainted with sorrow and grief. And you know, when you've had that to deal with, you just don't want any more, do you? You want relief. You want help. You want strength. You want encouragement when you felt that sorrow and that grief. But here, Jabez, his words knew that, his words tell us that he knew that evil would only increase his sorrows. Isn't that true? We don't need any more of that, do we? We need to try to stay as close as we can with the Lord. We realize our strength is not sufficient, but in our weakness, we find his strength. Paul talked about glorying in his infirmities. Not that we invite them, but that when they come, we realize that if we're depending upon the Lord, he's there with us to help us through those infirmities. And we certainly don't want the evil to increase our sorrows. And then the Bible says, and God granted him that which he requested. It was an honorable request, an honorable prayer, so that he could live an honorable life before God. Can you find fellowship with this brother? A long time ago. And yet, he's a man that loved God. A man that was looking to God for what he stood in need of. Depended upon God for the help and strength that he would need. Realized that he needed understanding so he could depart from evil. And so as he would walk in the fear of the Lord, he made this prayer and God answered his prayer. Isn't it sweet when God answers our prayers? Well, bless your hearts. If it's an honorable prayer, if it's one that will bring, that will redound to his glory, and you can have assurance that when it pleases him, he'll answer that prayer. Because that should be the thrust of our lives, is to live to his honor and glory and do what we can to be a blessing to those around about us. And so in this prayer, what we see is a good pattern. Now, the Lord gave us the perfect pattern in the New Testament when he gave us that model prayer. But if you look at this prayer and compare it to it, you'll find it's very similar in nature. Oh, some of the words are different, but as far as the desire of the heart, as far as its dependence upon the Lord, as far as its acknowledging our need of God and the need that we have to keep us from the evil, and to provide for us, to bless us, to help us. You find in this prayer that Jabez offered back in 1 Chronicles 4 verse 10, you'll find the same thoughts. No surprise there, because the same spirit has inspired the writings back then. And the same Spirit gives us the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament, expressing the same thought. A good pattern for us to follow. It's not so important that we say the same words that we have recorded in Scripture, but it's certainly, we need to pray the same prayer, don't we? Pray the same desires. Pray for the same help. And bless your hearts, I believe when we do that, we'll find we're being blessed, because it's an honorable prayer. It's one that God will honor, and He will continue to bless and to provide for His people. So I hope I've stirred your mind this morning, and perhaps if nothing more than remind you of some of the things that we need to be praying for and how we need to go about praying. And may the Lord help us to pray like Jabez did. Even though we may be in the midst of sorrows, God can hear our prayer. God can lift us out of that. And God can bless us with those things we stand in need of. May God bless you, is our prayer.